Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Educating Josh, in which the three of us, James O'Neill, Lucy Bella Earl, and I, Luke Cupforth, bring together three of the most divisive stories of the week. Our wonderful Josh Winslabe will have 20 seconds to respond with his gut feeling on the story with absolutely no research, after which we will have an attempt at Educating Josh. Welcome back, lads.
Hello.
How are you feeling about your story today, James?
Good. It's lighthearted, but it's an important issue.
I have the most lighthearted story I've ever brought to this.
I know. I've seen it.
I'm excited for your story.
Oh, great. Sounds like we're discussing really important things this week.
Really, really.
We are. They just have funny undertones as well. All right. So, Lucy, you started the show last week. So, could you please tell us how your story performed in the polls?
Yes. I asked, should the public fund the royals? And 60% of people said no.
Wow. Anti-monarchy audience.
What a shock.
Well, can I actually, I'm going to bring something up with this about you, because you brought a story last week as well talking about Kylie Jenner and milk.
Yes,
I did. So what do the royals bring apart from just being a famous thing that you're meant to care about?
Oh.
It's the same thing. It's just you come from a background of privilege, so
and
you kind of look
suddenly,
at it differently.
The Kardashians, the American royals.
Yeah, that's all they are. And they are considered the American royals as well.
That's true, but we don't have a headline that says the Queen tries milk for the first time.
I wouldn't stand by that comment. I'm sure there have been some ridiculous stories about the Queen and what they do.
Yeah, probably, to be fair.
All right,
there was a headline the other day where Meghan Markle closed the door and she wasn't meant to.
Oh, yes, we did see that.
There's more to that story, but anyway.
Jess on Twitter said, I think at the end of the day, money makes money and I'm perfectly happy to pay under £1 a year in order to support any royal event or tour.
Good for you, Jess.
Good.
You are entitled to that opinion.
That £1 could go to the NHS, but okay.
All right.
Oh. All right, don't drag Jess.
Feisty. James, your story was second. How did it perform?
My question was, is it appropriate for Drake and Millie Bobby Brown to be texting? And it was so divided. 51% said no. 43% said yes.
Did I actually successfully convince the audience something?
Well, I'm not sure, because it is still very divided.
Yeah, I don't think anyone put forward a kind of decent argument about that story. I think, well, to be fair, I think we all agreed in the end that it was mainly about whether the parents are aware or not.
I think
not.
We did.
If the parents are aware, you know.
As long as they're on top of it. Tom on Twitter said, if her parents are aware of it and fine with it, then it's really up to them. We are in no way responsible for raising her, as long as it's legal, of course.
In which case, if it's legal, we're all responsible for raising her, apparently, according to Tom. So yeah, that's interesting.
I also am Millie Bobby Brown's legal guardian. I don't know if you guys know that. Anyway, so my
Luke is not Millie Bobby Brown's legal guardian at all.
Please don't sue me, Millie. My story was last week, and it is that, is our obsession with Kylie Jenner destructive for society? Oh. And we had divided again, but 50% yes, 46% no. I'm very proud of my hating everything fans out there.
All of the polls were quite divided last week, weren't they?
They were very. Well, yes. Wow. CC on Twitter said, it's a little lame, but I don't think it gets to be destructive for society. We're probably just losing our ability to tell what's important and what's not.
Probably the smartest thing.
That was my point.
That's a good
Thanks,
point.
CC.
I don't think that was your point at all. And also, let's just remember that Twitter's about, it is meant to be a place for fun, which is the platform it was on. So I wouldn't look too much into it.
Yeah, you were the one that was saying it was destructive.
Exactly. Exactly. So
CC's saying
yes.
It's not.
Yes, I know, but sorry, I was just so happy about that poll result that I just started believing everything was good for me. Okay, anyway, Lucy, could you please start the show with your story for this week?
So, my story comes from The Echo. Elderly driver loses license after driving the wrong way along the A13.
We've all been there.
No, we haven't.
That's a Saturday night.
I have, but that's another story. Carry on.
Oh my God, please tell me afterwards. Right, here are the three things that you need to know, Josh. A crash took place near a junction connecting the A13 with the M25 after a car was reportedly seen driving at around 60 miles an hour the wrong direction down the road. In Britain, there is no legal limit on the age you need to stop driving. Instead, motorists over 70 have to fill in a self-assessment form every 3 years asking them to declare if they have any medical conditions that could make them unsafe to drive.
That is ridiculous. Self-assess and continue. Sorry.
According to the road safety charity Brake, poor eyesight is thought to be the biggest health-related cause of crashes, with 2,900 casualties a year. The DVLA, which maintains the database of registered drivers, said there's no evidence that older drivers are more likely to cause accidents. However, some argue that over the age of 80, drivers are likely to be involved in more crashes as their general health and fitness deteriorates. So, my question for you is, should there be an age limit on driving?
20 seconds, Josh. Go.
No, but people shouldn't self-assess.
Self-assessment is the worst idea, isn't it?
Like, that's ridiculous. I mean, people, if you had a hard age limit, then yeah, someone's going to be more fit at 60 than someone else is, or 70 or 80.
Absolutely.
So that seems a little bit ridiculous. But the fact that someone goes, can you see? And they're like, oh, well, I really need to take my grandkids to school still. So they're just like, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, it's their independence, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very hard to sign away your own independence. Mm. So, no. No, people aren't capable of that. An optician, very capable. A doctor, also very capable.
Wow.
People who haven't been trained with medical degrees, not very capable.
So do you think doctors should be obliged to tell on or kind of inform the DMCY?
I think they do.
The DVLA.
The DMC. The Deep and Meaningful Conversation.
The DVLA.
I think they already do.
Ah, but they're not actually legally obliged.
But they do.
They have
much.
A duty to.
Yeah.
But I think there should be a legal
obligation.
Obligation.
I think the problem with having a legal obligation is that... The problem with that is that, say, someone causes an accident because of poor eyesight, and 2 weeks before they were in their doctor's, the doctor didn't catch it. Would the doctor then be liable? Like, I think that would get quite complicated.
That's true.
I think it should be a yearly catch-up.
Do you
know what I mean? Like a yearly check-up that, you know, the doctor goes, yeah, they're fine.
At least after a certain age.
Doctor and optician.
In reality, I think that basically we should switch to a system whereby our license expires, say, every 10 years for all of us, and we have to resit a test.
No, I think that would be ridiculous, just because the test conditions have to be relearned, and people wouldn't... Maybe they can't afford to go through it again.
It doesn't necessarily have to be the same test, but some kind of test that says, are you still fit to drive in order to renew your license? It doesn't have to be the same test. It could be just driving somewhere and being able to operate.
Well, I suppose, to be fair, people's eyesight goes... before they're 70 even.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that there is nothing in between passing your license and 70 is probably a bit ridiculous. Yeah, I agree.
And I also find it slightly uncomfortable that the age is, at the end of the day, it's just an arbitrary number. Mm. I have a grandparent who is 95, who, other than like his bones, would be perfectly fine to drive. And I have another grandparent who's 79, who doesn't know where she is half the time and would not be okay to drive.
Mm, God,
and they're very different ages, and and people's bodily health deteriorates at different speeds.
Mm. But I think that brings up the point of what you said about the 10-year testing.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's health can deteriorate so quickly.
Maybe 5 years.
Just to get kind of back to it a little bit, no one drives like they do when they're taking their test.
No. God, no.
Oh, you drive your best on your test.
At all. After you've passed your test, no one in their life will ever drive that well again.
Hey,
I can guarantee that's pretty much a fact.
Maybe that's an incentive to keep on driving.
My granddad did. My granddad, who's now 95, he was part of some elite society of really good drivers or something, I can't remember what it's called. And
that's an incentive.
He absolutely
Luke revealing
did.
More about his privileged background.
my granddad being an elite...
After tennis club in Wimbledon, I have to go pick up my granddad from the elite driving club.
Shut up. I hate you all. Can I just leave? When did this stop being educating Josh and start being bullying Luke?
All people are the least able of all of us to get around.
Mm.
And also,
yeah,
we're
also
now
true.
We're on the way. Yes, exactly. And we're also on the way to having self-driving cars anyway. So if we were going to make this legislation, it should have been like 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, it's kind of like 10 years. A little bit too late, won't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, in 10 years, all these old people will have cars that do it themselves. Probably pick them up from the front door. Lovely.
That would be nice. I think that the focus needs to be on all of these young drivers that are causing all the
yes.
problems.
Lucy, is that a nice segue into some research?
Well,
that you did?
I have been doing some research, but I'm not going to do like a big old statistic. But proportionally, the 16 to 20 age group causes way more accidents than
really?
that result in serious injury or death than the over 75s.
I have a
why
friend from school
that?
Who flipped his car is? Over the day he passed his test and wrote off his brand new car.
Oh my God.
I reversed 100 metres out of buying my car, reversed into the person behind me, and had to have the police escort me away.
Oh my God. To be fair, I did crash like 3 days after my test as well. So.
Yeah, but you're in Australia where you can drive really young.
I know. I was coming out of a car park as well. I was like, it's too compact for me. I'm used to open space.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, they do have things that try and put young drivers off. You know, it's double points, it's things like that. So I do think it should be a tool, not if you're in a crash, because it might not be your fault, but if you cause anything due to reckless driving between a certain age, it should be you just lose your license.
And you reset your test.
But I think the idea of points or the idea of the system that we've got at the moment, and this is going to be extremely unpopular, probably not with our demographic, but with an older demographic, if you cause an accident, you should just lose your license.
I agree. Or at least 100%. For a while. At least for a
you
while.
You should have to 100% reset your test every time you cause an
points
accident.
Points are just like lucky strikes, aren't they? It's
yeah,
like, oh,
I,
you can crash
I really
this
agree
times.
With that.
Like, I don't understand why there's this whole idea that
you can you, break the law this
you
many
can
times.
Break the law three times. Do you know what I mean? You can speed three times. It's like, no. Just if you're the kind speed. Of moron that, you know, is going to speed and cause potential harm to someone or kill a child because you can't pay attention enough when you're driving a big machine to not go over 50 miles an hour or 30 miles an hour, you don't deserve to drive.
Because if it was any other situation where you hurt somebody, you'd go to prison.
I know.
Like, through negligence, like it doesn't matter if you meant to do it, you're negligent and you should go and have some punishment.
See, I think the issue with the elderly drivers though, and the reason it makes, you know, such massive headlines is because it's not just someone speeding or overtaking in a silly way, it's often someone going completely the wrong way down a road. So how do we get that testing in? How do we make sure that they can drive continuously and happily up until the point where they are not physically able to?
I mean, I think probably the reason we don't have a yearly check up on optical things and the stuff like that is because it would cost the NHS physically couldn't do it
sure.
for everyone
yeah.
in the country every year. So that's probably why it's very unrealistic. And I think you can safely assume that up until you're 30, there's less risk of certain diseases. Up until you're 50, there's a slightly higher risk and things like that. But I definitely think 40, 50 plus, when these diseases do become a thing, people should be tested every 5 years for a while, then every 3 years, then every 2 years. And that just be a thing.
Yeah. I really stick by thinking that the doctors and the opticians should have a duty to inform the DVLA.
Illegal
just
doctors
inform.
Have
illegal
enough
obligation.
To do, though.
I know.
Surely they have
I
so
mean,
much
if they
to
have
do.
A checkup, they see that somebody really isn't all, the, all there. No.
Yeah.
all there.
I think it should be that a person has a legal obligation to book an appointment that certifies them with the doctor and that the DVLA revoke their license until they receive that certificate every
nice.
Year because that's a way of taking the admin load off the hospital and things like that, and it does put more work on the DVLA, but the DVLA earn a lot of money in speeding fines. Like, they earn a lot of money. Like,
all
no
right.
one should feel bad for the DVLA.
So in summary, I think old people, if you're listening, you can carry on
driving
in
your
our
experience.
Opinion.
We like you.
All right, and you can let us know what you think over on Twitter and our polls at Educating Josh. It is time for the second story of the week. That is my story. Okay, Josh, my story comes from the Metro, and it is that Manchester Students' Union bans clapping and says that jazz hands should be used instead. Here are the three things you need to know. The University of Manchester's Student Union passed a resolution banning the practice at the first meeting of the year. The organisation has replaced clapping with jazz hands in a bid to prevent people suffering from anxiety or sensory issues. Sarah Khan, Liberation and Access Officer, put the motion forward in a bid to encourage student groups and societies to do the same and to include BSL clapping as part of the inclusion training. Motions need a 66% majority to pass, and it was reported that there was little opposition. However, the decision has come in for ridicule on social media, with some saying it's a further example of the so-called snowflake generation. Piers Morgan tweeted, "Britain is losing its mind." My question for you is banning clapping a step forward for inclusivity or political correctness gone mad? 20 seconds, Josh, go.
I don't think it's either.
Okay, ooh, please do explain.
I don't know. I don't think every school needs to now sit there and debate whether it needs to ban clapping or not, or be branded as uninclusive. But also, I think the University of Manchester potentially then has a high number or percentage of people with anxiety or sensory issues for this to become a thing, sure. I think, potentially, by the sounds of it. Like, if that's happened, they must have quite a high intake of those kind of students. I just think it's a step forward for niceness.
Sure.
Like, I just think it's a nice thing that they've recognised this and they've gone, hey, let's do jazz hands instead of clapping because we're setting some people off and it's not very nice for some of the people that are in the room that can't not be in the room, who we want there as well because they deserve to have the same educational experience as us. Mm-hmm. Let's not clap and scare the hell out of them and set them off.
It can be quite scary.
I mean, the thing is, I like clapping. When I do something good and people clap, I feel really good. Like, it's a nice thing. So it does suck a little bit.
I enjoy clapping as well, yeah.
There's something satisfying about clapping, isn't there?
Yeah, and when you clap, it's like you're celebrating something. And the part of me that finds it a little bit silly is that if you're at an event and your anxiety or your sensory issues are that bad that you can't, you know, something like that could trigger you, something like clapping, you're not going to be at the Apple event. Because they're going to play a trailer that's going to be loud and bright and big noises with big speakers that are sound designed to make an impact.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be inclusivity gone crazy for you to demand that Apple
do that. Other events do it.
But the fact that it's a school where it's...
You have no choice of being there.
You have no choice of being there and these people exist. Then I think for me it makes sense that in an assembly or a talk...
Well, the Students' Union... you can. Yeah, Manchester Students' Union, you can choose to be at those events or not. It's not like you're forced to be there.
But I think doesn't it mean they've banned it across the board in the school?
I'm assuming it means the practice...
Unless I misread that.
At their first meeting of the
year. That's the practice. I mean, I think that's the practice they're going to take at that school.
Or unless it's the way that the Students' Union communicate with each other, in which case I assume they have a few board members that are board members, but you know what I mean.
I think I read somewhere that there's two... it was brought up because there's two... specific students
on the Students' Union
that suffer from audio hypersensitivity and autism was the other one
on the Students' Union.
I think so. I'm not quite sure actually.
So what if there has been a person that has been groped by all of the members of a jazz band? Do you think they'd find jazz hands triggering?
Whoa, where did that come from?
What?
I was like, what?
You know, can you imagine that happening to you and then you're sat with loads of people doing jazz hands?
Well, what I was thinking is that if it's inclusive, then blind people can't really get behind jazz hands.
Well, I think that the jazz hand thing actually comes from deaf society. I think people who are deaf and when you have a meeting of deaf people...
Yeah, but what about blind people?
But most deaf people can see.
Well, so blind people, I don't know. I suppose that throws up another issue. Maybe, yeah.
But the issue being that...
How can we include everyone?
People who suffer from hypersensitivity, it can get quite scary for them, clapping, whereas if you're blind and there's jazz hands going on, you're not really... Someone can tap you, maybe.
So I just... I hate Piers Morgan's kind of snowflake generation comments and things like that. I do think
that's the other half of this issue.
You know, and I think the problem with this is that the way this is being presented is it's either okay or it's snowflakes. When you're given such harsh extremes for the one side and the other, people feel like they can't have a middle ground. And I think that's a problem. I don't agree with Piers Morgan and I don't agree that it's completely a step forward for inclusivity. I feel like there's a... It's a case-by-case thing. Like,
I get you.
Do you know what I mean? In a situation where it's an educational environment where there are people there with sensory issues, you know, it has to be debated. You can't just have one thing for everything because, say, Birmingham University decided to employ this for all their assemblies and, like you just said, there's a high percentage of blind people there. They'd kind of be like, well, hang on, this definitely isn't inclusivity because we're being excluded. Yeah. So you'd have to take into the account, and I'd hope in that scenario, it wouldn't be jazz hands. It would be, I don't know, it'd be something like... rubbing your hands together so you can hear it, or clicking your hands, or something that is a nice compromise between the people with anxiety and sensory issues and the people that are blind. So I also feel like just because you have an issue, just because you're anxious, and just because you have a sensory issue, doesn't mean that everything gets catered to you. People have to put up with things they don't like all the time. Because you have a disease that you can't help doesn't mean you can't compromise. So, okay, clapping's really triggering, but rubbing your hands, it's a lot quieter, it's a lot softer. Like, nothing entitles you to the it is being more inclusive, but again, what about blind people?
It's about everyone else being selfless and doing it voluntarily rather than you demanding it. But what about, do you not think on any level that this is a bit of a slippery slope, in that if you ban clapping, for example, are you then going to ban laughter? Because laughter is also a loud sound that people might get triggered by. People might have their own triggers from laughter.
People understand that that's, you know, that can't be helped. You know, I don't know, like, actually, that's a very good point.
Also,
that is a very good point, because you laugh and you do clap.
It's
clapping is a natural thing.
It is completely natural.
Babies do it.
Monkeys do it. Like people do that to sort of encourage them.
Babies learn it from their parents.
I don't necessarily agree with it. I don't think it's a step forward for inclusivity, because this is where it gets weird, because by doing that you're excluding more of the population
because they're not allowed
because they're not allowed to clap.
Because do you not have to set as
you're then deciding, you go back to this place where it's like, well, let's cater to these people, not these people. And
that's why I think it's a nice thing, and that what you were saying before about it's being divided as either you're overly, like, you're the most virtuous person ever, or you're just a political correct.
Yeah, I also I don't think it's political correctness gone mad. Like, political correctness gone mad for me was like when the princess was born and it was like, don't refer to her as a she because she's not old enough to decide her gender yet. Like, that was kind of like, that was too much for me. That was where I went, But like,
alone in your room, said Josh.
Yes, yes, that's exactly how it happened.
Josh pondered.
That for me is political correctness gone mad. Like, you know, they didn't apply a gender, they applied a sex. So anyway, let's not get into that. It's a whole separate issue.
Or, I mean, is not this already, is laughing and clapping and making sound already demographic, in that it's things that have evolved for over millions of years and we've sort of all agreed on it already? Like, whether actively or inactively, these are things that have evolved that we've all socially agreed upon are norms. And so...
Well, tough. Actually, in my opinion, no, tough. I don't care what you used to. We were used to racism for a long time and we changed that, thank God. You know, and we're still struggling to change it completely.
Used to slavery.
So yeah, we were used to slavery. We're used to a lot of things that we need to change.
I'd like to know if there's a further compromise that maybe these people with sensory issues could use, like some sort of noise cancelling headphones.
Oh, that was going to be my next
something
point.
Something like that.
Yeah, I think
so that
outright
they can make
banning
their own
it
effort
isn't
especially
the,
in this case
okay.
when it's two students, can't they just provide like noise cancelling headphones or earplugs or something that can help reduce the sound input?
Yeah, but they voted. I know they voted, but this is an amazing example of
democracy.
I don't know if they considered
these other options, you know.
All right, so that sounds like it's going to be option three other. So this will be decided by our polls next week, and you can let us know what you think over on Twitter at EducatingJosh. It is time for the last story of the week, and that is James's story.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
My story comes from The Daily Express, and the headline is Theresa May to launch Festival of Britain to boost post-Brexit UK. Here are the three things you need to know. The Prime Minister has scheduled 2022 as the year to hold the national celebration, which would replicate the 1951 event of the same name. Theresa May boasted the event would showcase Britain's talent in the post-Brexit world, with Britain's best in business, arts, and sports taking centre stage. Mrs. May hailed the proposed festival as a chance to mark this moment of national renewal with a once-in-a-generation celebration. The government has earmarked £120 million for the project, which they hope will return billions. However, many are not convinced. Social media users almost immediately leapt on the announcement, demonstrating the scale of the task ahead if the event is truly to reunite the nation. Labour MP David Lammy described the entire proposal as historically illiterate. He said, "The Labour government's 1951 Festival of Britain marked a new era of growth and international cooperation, the opposite of where this Tory government is taking us." My question to you, Josh, is, will the Festival of Britain unite the United Kingdom?
20 seconds, Josh. Go.
I mean, I don't know, but... of course I don't know. Nobody knows.
Well, it hasn't happened yet.
Thanks, I'll look into the future.
It'd be extremely arrogant of me to answer that question specifically. So I'm going to ignore that question, guys. I apologise. The question I'm going to answer is, should we have a Festival of Britain? Which I think we shouldn't. Just a bit of a disclaimer. I'm not the most patriotic person in the world. So if I come across as slightly dismissive towards something like this, then that's kind of, you know, I do apologise to anyone that is a complete loyalist out there and very patriotic towards our great British flag.
You're forgiven.
I celebrating joining something to me seems positive. Celebrating leaving something like that just feels not elitist, but I don't know. It makes me feel like I don't want to celebrate Brexit. I don't feel like Brexit should be celebrated. Do you know what I mean? Does anyone feel like
I get you.
We should celebrate Brexit?
It's like if you live with the same housemate for years and then you move out of that house and you celebrate leaving that person behind.
I mean,
yeah, right.
We have Independence Day in America, which celebrates leaving.
Do you not find it quite awkward when you're talking with an American about Independence Day and this whole idea of...
No, I don't personally, because I think the Britain that they were escaping from was a bad force for the world.
They were British themselves. Like, just this, that whole idea of things just completely astounds me. Like, yeah, there was a mad king, you know, as a nation they needed to separate its rule from that, but the idea that culturally you're any different, it's just people. And if anything, doesn't, you know, the famous football match at Christmas between Germany and the UK, between the English troops and the German troops during the war, you have a tyrannical leader that's forcing a country to do something, that has completely brainwashed a country into doing something. The people don't speak for that. Does that make sense? That's why war is disgusting. They just wanted to celebrate Christmas and everything's forgotten, and we're doing it's a horrible state of affairs where you're celebrating discourse, where you're celebrating non-unity of an entire world. Everyone is a human, no matter their colour, no matter their race. I don't like patriotism. I don't like being proud of my country because I don't want to distinguish myself in any way from any other human on the planet. We're all a human. Mm-hmm. So it makes me very uncomfortable when you... It just makes me uncomfortable. I don't think it's the right way of thinking. I think we should cherish our heritage and cherish our past and our traditions and our cultures. I just think the way we do that at the moment isn't through expanding that and giving it to other cultures and including people in that. We do it by going, no, this is ours and that's yours and these are our differences and we're going to celebrate us and you're you. And I don't think that's healthy.
See, I think that, for me, I wish I was patriotic. I'm like you, Josh, I'm not patriotic. But that's because I don't believe our country's doing the best things in the world. I don't believe any of our societies in the West are doing the best things in the world. So I'm not proud.
No.
But I wish I was. I wish I had something to be proud of. And one of the things that
But in the right way. Like, you can be proud of your country, but...
He means not in changing his mindset now to be patriotic, as in...
I wish
the country changes to match what he thinks now.
To match values.
Okay, I kind of understand you. Like, you can understand why the Swedish are very proud of themselves right now because of, you know, I may be getting it wrong, but I think it is Sweden that's very amazing like that.
And it's a lot of the Scandinavian countries.
Yeah, are extremely good at looking after just people. And they all pay high taxes, but they all live a lot nicer for it. So... I don't know. I just don't like the idea of this festival of Britain. Will it? I don't know if it'll unite the UK. I think it's just going to highlight some people voted no, some people voted yes. So, in my general opinion, I don't think it will unite the UK. I'm assuming it's to, you know, reach out and bring business into the country, and they'll
yes, basically. And, that does sound like what it is.
I think that's exactly what it is.
It's an expo for all of us.
It's basically a convention to, you know,
to sell us to the world, which is pretty friggin' miserable.
Are we looking too far into this? I'm up for a good party. I love like a jubilee. I'm not a royalist. I can't wait to have a street party.
I'm always up for a party.
Britain.
I don't know if I want to celebrate Brexit, but I don't know if it's particularly good or particularly harmful, or I don't know.
I just hope we all get a day off work. All of us.
There are more harmful. I don't know. There are worse holidays out there that we should be. I don't know about Britain. Australia Day is one that I don't like in Australia because.
Oh, really?
What's Australia Day?
Australia Day. Oh, it's celebrating when the colonizers first settled and, you know.
Oh.
Wiped out
enslaved
the
enslaved all the Aboriginal
oh,
people.
Oh, God. That's horrible.
Took all of their children.
Oh,
all right,
no.
Josh, I think you might be right.
I don't like a Festival of Britain would be nice if we were celebrating the bits of our culture that are nice.
Yes, not industry.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. What's my favourite bits about being British? Just off the top of my head, it aren't really ours. They're things that we've inherited.
They're stolen.
It was Christmas. I love
tikka masala.
Stolen.
Tea.
Yeah. It's tea. I love that. I do love tea.
Tea's
That's
Indian.
Very true.
I
love but
tea.
It's Indian.
Pims.
Christmas is Nordic.
Is gin English?
As far as I'm concerned, British culture is invading and killing and destruction and mass colonization of people with smaller weapons than us. Like, I can't.
So do you think we should feel ashamed rather than feeling proud?
I'm very ashamed to be British.
Oh, you see, I'm neither ashamed nor proud. I'm just like, whoop, I wasn't an accident. But like, I think we're all individuals though, and it's not like we
Absolutely.
Should be ashamed of ourselves. I had no say in that decision. It's just that we all voted for
someone that got
put into power.
We do, just like myself, read it in the papers.
And do nothing. So in conclusion, will the Festival of Britain unite the UK? Maybe.
No, it
Should
will distract
it?
Us.
Should it? Absolutely not. Okay, and you can let us know what you think over on Twitter in our polls at Educating Josh. It is time for a quick fire round. Josh, card giant Moonpig have taken to social media to beg their customers to stop uploading photos of their genitals. Should people be allowed to put dick pics on their greetings cards?
Yeah, of course they should.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hashtag free the willy.
Why are we reducing it to dick pics? They're just their genitals, you know?
Don't make
Stop.
This problematic.
Be more inclusive.
Should they be able to put pictures of anything on
what
their...
What would the female equivalent be? Slash snaps or something?
Lucy!
Slash snaps!
What is wrong with you?
I don't know. It just comes
just,
out.
You just reduced your vagina to a slash.
Sorry, vajayjay.
Objectivity at its finest.
Josh, a man named Luke Anus has changed his name on Facebook after the site wouldn't allow him to use his real name, and probably because he was fed up of being the butt of too many jokes. That was the actual headline, by the way. Should Facebook block your name if it is rude?
No. That's
okay.
Quite childish, Facebook. I used to laugh at the word Willy when I was five
Luke
as well.
Anus.
Yeah. Luke Anus is my stage name.
What about Aunt Fanny from Enid
Blyton?
Are
you still in with Facebook?
Yeah, that was just a story about me. Anyway, sexting and online sex chat rooms have slashed teenage pregnancy rates. Is this a great thing for society, or will it turn us into horny bedroom photographers? Sorry, I just love that. It's very sad, really, isn't
I think
it?
It's kind of really sad.
It's
it
a good
really
story,
sad.
But then it has a very sad undertone that nobody does anything together
but
anymore.
Teen pregnancy is down.
Yeah.
Because that was a massive issue. That was in the news all the time, and then it just went away with Snapchat.
Yeah. Okay, and guys, the good news story of the week is that a video is doing the rounds online of a seal slapping a kayaker with an octopus after mistaking him for a rock.
Imagine being mistaken for a rock.
Well, I saw that video.
But also, really why funny. Do seals slap rocks with octopi?
To kill them.
To tenderize the meat. Oh, to kill them, yes.
Okay, interesting. Okay, well, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Educating Josh. It's been a very calm, lovely, tranquil week this week. I've enjoyed it. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook at Educating Josh for the polls and content from each of today's topics, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. We also want you to send in more questions for next week's Quickfire Round. Please go subscribe, and most importantly, leave a review over on Apple Podcasts or your podcast app of choice. This has been Educating Josh, a Studio 71 production. We'll see you next week for another episode of Educating Josh. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.